Good morning, y'all. Everybody okay? Good. It's good to be your messenger today. I keep feeling that no matter how much I was prepared for today, I'm not prepared. So, I have a trump card that I use. It comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. But it says, when I'm in this position here to speak, I don't even have to worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will speak through me. And I believe that with all my heart. So, today, we're going to talk about some of the struggles I had in my life. For a long time now, I believe... Am I loud, Brian? Am I echoing? Am I good? Okay. I believe it is very important as Christians that we renew our minds. It's like rebooting your computer. Renewing our minds is something that comes on a daily basis. Every day, I wake up before anything. And I say, I love you, Jesus. And today, I want to serve you. Good way to start. Not going wrong there. But then, I think, well, if I'd only quit doing this. If I'd only quit getting mad when I got out on the road and I run into somebody that's stupidly driving and I get mad and cuss them out. I need to stop doing that. Don't look like I'm the only one that cusses people out. Come on. Be with me here. Good. If I stop doing that, or whatever it is, or you fill in your own blank, if I would stop doing this, maybe God. Or I think, if I do that, maybe God will do this for me. And I realize that's totally wrong. So, uh-oh. Not often Charlie Alcorn's wrong in his mind. But that's just my mind. You know, I thought I was mistaken once, but I was wrong. But no, a flag comes up. I start praying. I start looking at the Bible. James 1 and 5 says, if we lack wisdom, ask. He's gracious to give. And thank God. Thank God. So what I seen when I was doing wrong was me. I. That little word, I. I was trying to do something that God's already done. And I was trying to be God without Him. And it doesn't work. You end up stuck in the position that you're in. You're stuck. So, as I said, I started looking at scriptures. And today, our main scripture we're going to look at, if I'm doing this right. Okay, Rose. Don't you love technology? Oh, I forgot what I'm supposed to get mad because. Sorry. If not, we are going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Hey. Good deal. Thank God. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. And it says, you were taught with regard to your formal way of life, the way I used to live, to put off your old self. Listen to this. Which had, am I loud, Brian? I keep ringing in my hearing aid. Okay. To put off your formal self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be here he's going to tell us how. To be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on new self, created to be like God in His true righteousness and holiness. And then I started seeing it. Everything that I have that I need to renew my mind, Jesus Christ already done it. By Him. And what He did on the cross, I'm the righteousness of God. I've been redeemed. I've been bought back with the price of His life. Paid in full. Every sin that I ever committed. And He says, you're my child. And every morning I hear Him tell me back, I love you too, Charlie. My child of God. His royal blood now flows through my veins. I was lost, wretched. But now I see. That's what we have to remember. Let's go to the next one. Hey, I did it. Awesome. Everything that the Apostle Paul talked about in Romans, would have been for nothing. Would have been for absolutely nothing. Until you get to chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true and proper way of worship. I have a couple of notes. As I talked about those first 12 chapters of Romans, chapter 1, Jesus completed all things by what he did on the cross. Chapter 2, God tells us that his goodness brings us to repentance. In 3 to 5, it says we are justified. In chapter 6, it says we're united with Christ. In 7, free from the law. In chapter 8, it talks about God's plan of mercy, not performance. See, we had that covenant before. In Hebrews, it tells us about the old covenant that we had with God. It's like we had to do something before God done something. If we do this, he'll do that. He don't have that no more. We can't limit God anymore on anything we do to keep him from doing what he does. It says, therefore, I urge you. But in 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not you. It says, be transformed by what God's mercy done in our lives. By the mercy of God, I have everything. Nothing except his mercy. I can't brag about it. It's nothing I done. The only thing that I did was believe. I believe what God tells me. I believe what his word says. And I receive it. You have to receive a gift. If you don't receive a gift, it's no good to you. Everybody with me? Believe and receive. I got a couple of things that I wrote down that tells us what renewing our mind is not. It's not self-reform. I can get up and I might say, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm going to act that way. But without the mercy of God working in my life, I can't do it. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall on my face. And here's where I really started seeing it. And I told a Sunday school class even last week, one thing we need to remember, two words. It's identity remembrance. If you don't remember and think about who you are in Christ, we slowly start wandering off the wrong way. And I have many times. And there's been people, my friends that's here, that's had to pull me back. because I started going off. Easily done. Identity remembrance. That's my new big word. The second thing, not trying to think positive thoughts. Oh, I'm just going to think everything's okay. I'm going to think positive and God's going to love me and it's all good. You'll start seeing something in common in all these here and as I go through them. Self-discipline. That's right. I'm going to stop cussing out that guy on the road. Not going to do that anymore. Until I run into another one in the next block. That ain't it either. If you can even get that to work, that ain't it. How about it's not mental effort to keep God pleased? Well, if I do this, if I come into the church, read that, fill my mind up with all kinds of Bible scriptures and the Word of God and just stuff all this in my mind and hoping it trickles down to my heart. I got it backwards. It should come from our heart where God lives. It should come from here. And we put it up here. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a child of the King. When we do these things hoping that we're going to please God, that's what's called dead works. And that doesn't mean you should just sit around and not do nothing. You should want to serve God for what He's done for you. And if you do it with a glorious heart, He'll bless you. In every way. So what I finally wrap all that up into is it's not effort-based. We can't do anything to earn God's mercy. It just doesn't happen. So, what is renewing your mind? It's let God work in your heart and in your mind with what He's already done. He's paid the price on Calvary. But if we go to 1 Corinthians 15:22, here's one thing we got to do. We got to shift from the Adam mindset to the Christ mindset. Why? Because it says there in verse 22, in Adam, all died. Not just died. They died without a Savior. They weren't redeemed. So as we think in the Adam mindset, the old mind, we've been trained in fear. We've been trained in, you're not enough. Lack. All those crummy words come from the mind, mindset of Adam. So when God came, Jesus, He came to earth, became the Son of Man. So the Son of Man can become the sons of God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Huh? Somebody say amen. I know you guys are awake. Come on. Okay. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us He came to give us life abundantly. To running over. And if we don't have that abundant life running over in our life, we need to take a look at our mindset. I know it's hard. Some of this taught stuff we've been taught from children through religion. Not a relationship. Religion. Not a relationship. But to finish that up in John 10:10, if you've ever had anything stolen from you, whatever it may be, it's Satan. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Not God. And I really kind of hate it when I see people that committed suicide. Because they bought the lie. They're thinking that they didn't have any worth. Each one of us in here is worth something to God. But even that person, God says, I still got you. You're important to me. I feel like in my life I was like the one sheep that ran away. And God left the 99. When I steered way off the path, He came looking for me. He dusted me off. He said, you're my child. You mean something to me. Nothing I did. When we have the mindset of Christ, we're united with Him together. If not, you'll stay separated from God. He's not going to force you to do anything. But you're His child. Oh, you want me to say that? I wrote this down. I don't know how you're going to take this. I had to learn to think and draw my life from God not to God. God already had everything for me. I need to learn from Him. To learn my life, live my life from Him. Not my life going towards Him. I know that might be hard for some of you to take. But that's what we got to do. We need to learn to live our life from God. Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to do it yourself. Because you'll fall flat on your face. Let's see what else I got here. What time am I doing? Oh, golly, I better hurry. Yeah. That's not where I'm at. But I have that. 6:14. Okay, we'll do it. Since it's there. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. And I'm not saying nothing bad about the law. Don't get me wrong, because Jesus Christ said He came to fulfill the law. But if we try to live by the law today, you'll be stuck. Because all the law did was make you aware that you had sin in your life. That's all it was good for. It didn't save anybody. It just made you know you had sin in your life. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. I was talking to somebody recently and they said, well, I want to live my life by the Ten Commandments, and they're great. But that's the old covenant. Don't need them anyway. That's the old covenant. We live under a new covenant. And we'll see some more of that. Let's see what's next. This is all a surprise to me now. Romans 6:14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but grace, by the grace of God. I had another one I didn't write down. You just have to bear with me on that. No, I don't have it. Maybe. Hey, Romans 5:20. The law was brought in so that trespasses might increase. But where sin increases, grace increases more. So that just as sin resided in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness that brings eternal life through Jesus Christ. We're going to live. Okay. Keep going. Uh-oh. That's too many. Can you go back for me, Rose, please? Oh, thank you. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passion aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit from death for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. I read this. So we serve a new way in the Spirit, not in the old way. Renewing our mind. Constant, daily thing. That by the grace of God, we know who we are in Him. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I know for me. Wait a minute, I got something else. I got time. We got some. Okay. The Institute for Biblical Research done a study. There's something else that's important as a Christian. For somebody who read the Bible one time a week, had hardly or none effect on their life. None. Reading 2 to 3 times a week didn't really change it that much either. But when it jumped up to 4 times or more a week, everything changed. Everything. The important thing is reading God's Word. You're not going to know what you got unless you read. So y'all better start reading. Point my finger. I want to kind of close with something about myself. On the 12th day of December in 1997 was the worst day of my life. And I'll tell you why. For one, I was locked up. And if you don't really understand what that means, it's every freedom that you have in your life is taken away. Then on top of that, I laid there sick. Because I didn't have any drugs. Or any whiskey to wash it down with. And I remember laying there. I said, God, I give. I've had enough. This is all I can take. And He was right there. I would say I found God, but He wasn't lost. It was me that was lost. And He found me. But I said, Lord, I've been doing a lot of things that I shouldn't be doing. I hurt a lot of people. He knew that. He knew everything before I did it. But He still calls me His child. And that's a big deal. He lifted me up. He brought me into the light. And through the finished works of Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need for this life and the one beyond. And I'll never stop telling you about it. Because it's the only way. He told us that. It's the only way. You can't get to God no other way through Jesus Christ. And the only thing that really grieves the Holy Spirit is how we treat people. Not even just in our church, but when out on the street. It's how we treat people. God don't like ugly. But He knows how to make you pretty again. Amen. Running out of time. Guys, come on up. I always offer you the altar because that's where we find our hope. If you need to come up here this morning, you pray. And I'll pray with you. We can believe together. Renew your mind. It's all right here. I keep looking up when I pray, and He's not up there, He's right here. He's right here. And He lives in you too. Wake Him up today. Oh God.
Would you stand as we sing our song of invitation? Are you grateful for the Lord?